Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This next interview comes from episode 5, Philadelphia Phillies.
Tour guide Edward Mauger teaches us about Philadelphia during the days of the American Revolution as General Washington and his army froze at Valley Forge.
And a big baseball PhD welcome to Edward Mauger. Edward, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, sir?
Now, my sources tell me that not only are you a tour guide extraordinaire, but that you're a leader of tour guides. And one of the things we love at Baseball PhD is talking to leaders. Correct me if I'm wrong, you are the founding president of the Association of Tour Guides.
That's right, the Association of Philadelphia Tour Guides. It's only been in existence for a little over a year. And we've been working on developing our own training program for independent tour guides in the city of Philadelphia.
That's outstanding. Now, I believe your day job, your company is called Philadelphia on Foot Tours.
That's exactly right.
And we can look you up on the internet if we go to www.ushistory.org/more/Mauger,
M-A-U-G-E-R,
your name.
That's exactly right. USHistory.org is, I think, the world's largest website for U.S. history. They get 3.5 million hits a month, and they have everything from the most serious historical researchers to people who do popular history. But they feature my tours, which I'm very grateful for.
Now, I understand you're also the author of 3 books.
That's right. 2 on Philadelphia. Philadelphia Then and Now is the first of them. Vintage photographs on one page and modern ones taken from the same spot. And then I also did a book on Atlantic City. And I've also published an article on Benjamin Franklin and music. He was a great music aficionado.
How long did Benjamin Franklin live in Philadelphia?
Off and on, I would say about 30 of his 84 years.
Okay.
He came at the age of 17, and he was this was his adopted hometown, but he spent off and on many years in Europe, more than he ever thought he would.
Right.
And there were periods when he actually thought he would die in Europe. He would never make it back.
Now, let's talk about what the different tours that your company offers.
Well, I try to do, there's so much history, you know, after all. This is the place where perhaps the most important events in the world in the 18th century, the most important decisions were made. So they were all here. Almost every founding father spent a good half of his political career or more within 4 blocks of Independence Hall. And so I've tried to come up with some tours that have a little twist to them. A couple on politics. I developed it during when the Republican convention met here. I have a walking tour for staunch conservatives with all right turns to it. I have one for liberal media with all left turns, and then I have one for middle of the sidewalk people.
Those are the people that get run over, I hope you know. But anyway.
That's right. By the people from the left and the right.
Right.
I have a tour, kind of a ghost tour called Bring Out Your Dead. I have a tour that deals with great events and catastrophes called Four Funerals and a Wedding. I developed a tour on romance about the singles life in 18th century Philadelphia, the single scene. And because after all, this is a pre-Victorian time, so
right.
Things got pretty wild, especially when you consider that the average age of people in the Philadelphia in Pennsylvania colony was only around 19. So there were a lot of people with raging hormones. It would take 6 months to try to get permission to get married if you sent back to your folks,
right?
Even if they gave you that permission.
Would it be a safe analogy to say that during colonial times, Philadelphia was the Las Vegas of the colonies?
Hey, I love that. It certainly was. It was the Las Vegas. It was the convention center. You know, that's partly why, besides the fact that it was centrally located, why those events took place here, those important events, the Continental Congress meeting here, and even before that. And it was also the Dallas, you know, the first stock market in America, the wealthy and the investors had a lot going on. Jefferson called it the most beautiful city he had ever seen, and he'd been to Paris.
Right. So it was one heck of a city, and it still is. I mean, right now, Philadelphia, I believe, is the sixth largest city in the United States. And during the glory days that we're talking about, it was the largest city.
That's right. Biggest city Washington ever saw. And the only city he would still recognize.
That's right. You also have participated on the History Channel, where they did, I think, a one-hour show on sex in the American Revolution. And one of the stories...
Oh, yes. Yes, I love it.
That had to be a fun show to do. Let's talk about the story of Lord William Howe, because I think what we could tell our baseball PhD listeners is that this is a story about how a beautiful blonde save George Washington so he could fight another day. Let's explore that.
Sure, love to. Lord Howe decided that after having taken Boston and New York, that if he took over the rebel capital, he could shorten the war. So he marched in. Howe got here, and he was having a good time. Meanwhile, Washington was 26 miles away up the river at Valley Forge, going through that cold winter, and Howe was keeping himself warm with Joshua Loring's beautiful blonde wife, his lieutenant. Howe put Joshua Loring in charge of the prisoners, the American prisoners of war, and while he was busy day and night, he kept Mrs. Loring busy day and night, having a good time in the city through that winter. Now, when the weather got good enough in late February and early March, he could have marched north. His army was four times larger than Washington's by that stage, could have wiped him out. You know, he just needed to be able to move his cannonade once the weather got good enough. He didn't do it. Weather got even better in April, and he still hung around. So finally, everybody was making fun of him. The British soldiers had a song, something like this: "Awake, arise, Sir Billy, there's forage on the plain. Leave your little filly and open the campaign." The other verses are a little more to the point, something about grab your warlike staff, but people can check that out on their own. But then the weather got even, he still didn't move, and finally, by May, the Americans had their own song, which I sang for the History Channel about, and we had a better song because America's first popular music composer, Francis Hopkinson, had composed it. He was a protege and a friend of Ben Franklin's. And let's see, Sir William, he is snug as a flea, lay all this time snoring. No fear of harm as he lay warm in bed with Mrs. Loring. It goes on from there. So everybody was making fun of General Howe, and finally he was removed from command. The British were so embarrassed by the whole thing and put somebody else in charge. And in June, the army finally left Philadelphia to engage Washington again.
Wow. So they sat on their hands for a winter, and Washington's only 26 miles away at Valley Forge.
That's right. Among the things he sat on were his hands. That's right.
Well, I don't know about you, Ed. Thank you very much for your time. But the next time I go to a Phillies game, I'm going to pull out a dollar bill, look at Mr. Washington or President Washington's face, and salute the first beautiful blonde that I see in Philadelphia. Because that's
right.
A story that, you know, every American should know, because all of these founding fathers, they were human too. And on this story, humanity saved Washington and his freezing troops so that they could get stronger and be able to fight when the weather was better.
Exactly.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.